welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Lavonier. In this hour, Westerns. Later on, from 1958, it's The Frontier Gentleman. But first, a broadcast of Hawk Larrabee, first heard on CBS on May 22nd, 1947.
Come along, folks, and listen to the tale of Hawk Larrabee on the Western Trail. Comatai-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yi, comatai-yi, yippee-yippee-yi.
Larrabee's the name, Hawk Larrabee.
He's rode every trail across the Lone Prairie, as sure as his name's Hawk Larrabee. Comatai-yi, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yi, comatai-yi, yippee-yippee-yi.
Yes, it's Hawk Larrabee, starring Barton Yarborough with his exciting stories of the timeless West. Stories of men and women, famous and infamous, who loved and hated, lived and died in the colorful drama of the American West. Stories chronicled for you by Hawk Larrabee.
Yep, I'm Hawk Larrabee. A lot of folks claimed that I was a fiddlefoot, that I couldn't stay put in one place. And it wasn't long before I started to believe in them myself because I left my old stamping grounds at Sundown Wells and hit the trail. First stop, the gold camp at Mulberry Creek. There wasn't no mulberries that I could see, and the only creek was a ditch of dirty water, full of miners, working rock or a pan, trying to get a trace of that yellow stuff called gold. The new part of town was made of tar paper shanties and tents. But there were some pretty fair buildings along the main street, and one of these was the Collins Mercantile, a typical Western general store. I went inside to buy me a can of saddle soap, and there was the prettiest gal I ever set my eyes on behind the counter. And I seen something else. A big, red-faced hombre waving his finger right under her nose and talking loud and mad.
Mary the Collins, I'm only trying to help you. Can't you see that?
No! You want them to hang Lucius, and you want to run me out of business.
That boy of yours is guilty, and he ought to swing. But I'm making an offer for this store, my final offer.
Get out, I said. Morgan Brash,
Brash, the lady asked you to leave.
What? Where'd you come from?
Well, never mind that.
Oh, please, stranger, don't cause any more trouble.
The name is Hawk Larrabee, ma'am. Looks to me like Brash here's the one that's stirring up trouble, not me.
What's your cut in this deal, Larrabee?
Well, sir, I'm just a fella from Texas that don't like seeing a darn saddle bum yelling at a pretty girl.
Saddle bum? You call me a saddle bum? Well, I've got the biggest store in this town.
You mean the one in the big tent down the street? So you're the fella that's giving stuff away, hmm? Is that how come ain't no customers here in Miss Verity's store?
Of course. How can I compete with his ridiculous prices? But that's not important.
Larrabee, I'm trying to make friends among the miners. Nothing else. Mulberry Creek has a future. I intend being part of that future.
Well, there's one sure thing. You ain't making no friends in here.
I don't intend to.
Oh, please, please, both of you.
Verity, today's the trial. Now, I could put in a good word for Lucius, but I sure won't feel inclined to now.
But he isn't guilty.
No. Well, I'll tell you what I'm beginning to suspect, Miss Verity Collins.
What?
Maybe you and that Lucius Budlong was both in on killing your Uncle Fred.
Oh, that's a lie. How can you say that?
Fred Collins didn't want you marrying Lucius. Him and Lucius quarreled. So the Perrier figured to get him out of the way. Then you'd both have the store.
I don't want this store. Lucius doesn't want it. He's a lawyer, not a clerk.
Lawyer? What lawing did he ever do?
Well, he hasn't had a chance in this town, that's all.
Well, you had your chance. But now I'm going to see that everybody hears my opinion of this killing.
You wouldn't.
Oh, wouldn't I?
Bryce, you know something? I've been mighty darn patient for you. But now you're going out that door, walking or flying, just suit yourself.
Well, you can't talk like that. My rear.
Don't never make a mistake of pulling that Pee-wee 41 on me again. I'm toting a 45 like most everybody else, and it'll put a hole in you big enough for your head.
Why, you...
I'll just unload this pistol of yours. Yeah. Now I don't reckon you shoot me in the back. Get to moving, Bryce.
I'll see you later, Hawk Larrabee.
I'm afraid you've made a dangerous enemy.
Oh, don't pay no attention to him. Lots of folks don't like me. How long has he been in town, anyhow?
About a month. Right after the strike.
He sure does aim to take over this store.
Bryce tried to buy out my Uncle Fred.
He wouldn't sell, is that it?
My Uncle Fred only cared for one thing in life. This store.
And he winds up dead.
Yes. Everybody in town thinks Lucius did it.
Well, if him and your uncle quarreled like Bryce said...
Lucius couldn't do such a thing. Uncle said some nasty things to him, yes, but even so, Lucius wouldn't wait till I was upstairs in my room, then knock on the door and shoot Uncle when he came to see who was there.
Oh, that's how it was, huh? Well, when did it happen?
Last week.
And the trial is today?
Yep. And they'll hang him. I've been trying to help, but no one will listen to me.
Well, folks around here don't like your Lucius, huh?
No.
Well, why?
I don't know. Because he's different from them, I guess.
Because he's got his nose in a law book most of the time?
Yeah, that's partly it.
Well, I come in for a can of saddle soap.
Should have got it at Bryce's. He's selling it for a quarter. Our price is $3.
$3?
Well, since the gold strike, our freighting costs have gone up 10 times, and even then there is little profit.
Oh, yeah, well, I understand.
Here's your saddle soap, Mr. Larrabee.
Larrabee? It's Hawk to my friend.
All right, Hawk.
Well, adios, Miss Verity.
Oh, goodbye.
Oh, by the way.
Yes?
Whereabouts they got Lucius pinned up at?
At the jail, 2 blocks down. You can't miss it.
I don't reckon I will.
Good luck. Oh, please have good luck.
That's what comes of being fiddle-footed. You're always bumping into trouble. But I guess I'm kind of soft when there's a gal as pretty as that Verity Collins around. It could be that her Lucius did murder Uncle Fred Collins, but it wouldn't hurt none to see the number anyhow. The jail office is closed, but I heard somebody hammering and sawing in a lot out back. A minute later, I was introducing myself to a gent by the name of Somber Jones, the town marshal. Well, after we shook hands, I asked him what he was building.
Why, that's a new scaffold.
Oh. Mean it's gonna be a hanging?
Reckon so.
Lucius?
Yep. He'd been better off if he'd never been born.
Oh, yeah.
Why, I reckon the whole world would be better off if no humans was on it. Animals don't kill unless they're hungry, but us humans, we go around shooting folks. Well, you take Lucius.
Well, you're just a town marshal, Summer Jones. You ain't no jury.
Never claimed to be.
You figure Lucius is guilty?
I ain't said so, Larrabee.
Then what you building this scaffold for?
Scaffold's gonna be permanent this time. Mulberry Creek is booming, and we'll be needing it regular.
I'm asking you again. Do you figure Lucius is guilty?
I'm marshal of this sinful town. Ain't my place to say.
I reckon that's my answer. You don't think Lucius killed Fred Collins at all, do you?
Even so, you ain't gonna talk me into turning him loose.
Suppose a mob tries to bust into the jail.
Well, I got me a sawed-off shotgun to take care of that, if anybody tries it.
And this trial is just going to be a formality, then?
Never said it wasn't.
Any 12 men in this town will vote him guilty without taking time to blow the suds off with a darn beer.
Sometimes sure is trying. This job upholding the dignity of the law. Verity ought to marry Lucius and live happily ever after. Like they do in books, you
know? Well, then, why don't we see that she does?
Oh, no. That ain't in the cards. That ox-brain uncle of hers was again it. He got killed. Shows it wasn't meant to happen. Them getting married, I mean.
Yeah. What time is the trial?
After sundown. Boys won't leave the diggings till dark. They want to be in on the fun.
Fun? Hanging a man is fun?
Well, that's their idea, not mine.
And you're going to let them string up a man that might be innocent?
Maybe he ain't innocent.
You practically said he was.
Well, I... Doggone it, I never have thought he put a bullet in Fred Collins.
Well, then who did?
Ken Sabe. Collins was the ornery old buzzard. Treated Verity pretty bad. Lots of folks would have been glad to shoot him.
Well, why'd the town so sure Lucius done it then?
He says he was studying them law books in his shack out at the edge of town.
when Collins was shot.
But he can't prove it,
no,
huh?
No, he can't.
And folks around here don't exactly hanker for Lucy.
Well, he's kind of odd-like. Folks thought Verity would marry some handsome gent, a cowman.
Well, what's the matter with Lucius?
Nothing, except he's got brains.
And brains ain't popular in Mulberry Creek.
Oh, it ain't that so much, but he's a little runt and skinny like he'd bust in two in a high wind.
A lawyer ought to be able to get business in a town like Mulberry Creek.
Well, folks won't give him a chance.
No, they want to put a rope around his neck instead.
You're making me feel almighty uncomfortable. After all, I only carry out the law.
From the way it looks, a feller can get justice about anywhere but Mulberry Creek. I got a good notion...
Forget it. As town marshal, I can make any man in this town give up his gun.
Why, they ain't nobody. Nobody at all big enough to take my gun.
Well, now, don't look at me that way. I never said you was the one I was thinking about.
Well, you come pretty darn close.
I'm just giving you some advice, son. I like you. But I'll shoot the buttons off in your shirt if you try any shenanigans with me. Remember that.
Well, I reckon we understand each other, Somber Jones.
Reckon we do, Larrabee.
Well, I come over here to see Lucius. How about it?
I won't trust you inside the jail, Hawk. But there's his cell window yonder.
Oh. And then that'll have to do.
And don't try slipping him a hacksaw blade and a bar of soap.
Well, I might give him a blade, but why the soap?
Rubbing soap on a hacksaw blade deadens the sound.
How you know that?
I've sawed my way out a time or two, but it led to nothing but misery. And I'm seeing that it ain't gonna happen here, not while I'm town marshal.
I seen I wasn't gonna get no place with Somber Jones. I walked over to jail, looked through the barred window and seen Lucia sitting on the edge of a bunk, staring calmly up at me out of a pair of steel-rimmed spectacles.
Hello.
Howdy. I'm Hawk Larrabee.
I'm Lucius Budlong.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
You wanted to see me?
How in thunder can you just sit there so darn calm and collected?
If one allows oneself to become upset, well, one can't think clearly.
Yourself, myself, oneself. Don't go pulling that fancy talk on me, son. Can't you hear them hammers and them saws out back?
I've grown accustomed to the sound by now.
You know what it means?
Of course. They're building a gallows to hang me. I'll have to admit I'm upset, though I try not to show it.
You get upset, all right, when you're standing over the trap.
I doubt if that will happen. You see, I'm a lawyer.
Oh, you're going to need more than law to get you out of this mess, Lucius.
I'm innocent, Larrabee. I have faith in our courts.
Well, so have I, usually. But this is Mulberry Creek. The boys is pouring into town from all points of the compass. They're after gold, and they ain't particular about seeing that you get a square deal.
I'll tell the truth at the trial. You see, I was in my cabin at the edge of town when Fred Collins was murdered.
That's what I heard. But if you didn't kill him, then who did?
Well, it was someone who knew Fred Collins. Someone who knew him well enough to get him to open his door at night.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about Morgan Bryce? He sure is bent on putting a rope around your neck.
Well, that's just a simple matter of jealousy.
Oh, he don't like it because Verity's in love with you.
Well, he asked her to marry him.
Mm-hmm. If Bryce heard about the fight you and Fred Collins had over Verity, why, then he could shoot the old man and have a good excuse to frame you.
I do know that Bryce wanted the store.
And the old man refused to sell it to him. Well, that gives Bryce a double barrel reason for getting rid of it.
Lots of people would like the store. There's a lot of fine merch stock of merchandise. Now, if I can only just bring all this out of the
Lucius,
trial...
Lucius, you ain't got none too much time. They'll be trying you right after sundown. And if you ain't swinging a half hour later, then my name ain't Hawk Larrabee.
You're about as mournful as Somber Jones.
Oh, I hope I don't never get that mournful.
It's just a mournful world, Hawk Larrabee.
But, Somber Jones, what you doing sneaking up like that?
just thought I better come over and see if you'd pulled out any window bars or chewed a hole in the wall.
Well, I ain't, but I sure do feel like it.
It's sure funny how a pretty guy like Verity can get a man so all-fired worked up that he'll defy law and order to help her out.
There ain't nobody defied no law and order.
Well, you...
Not yet. Lucius, keep your chin up.
Thanks, Huck Larrabee.
In spite of somber Jones, the world ain't such a bad place.
I'll see you at the trial.
Come on, Selma.
What you got under your hat? Ideas?
Maybe.
I know what you're thinking.
Do you?
You're wondering how Verity can fall in love with a fella like that there Lucius.
If she likes him, that's good enough for me.
Well, now, don't take off my poor old gray head. I don't hold with romancing myself.
Well, never mind romance. If we don't start to using the spurs, that kid's going to get strung up.
You say we, including me in your plans?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You was probably born with your back bowed to world, but maybe you're honest.
Reasonable so, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I got me an idea.
Yeah.
Is there any chance of getting one of them slugs that killed Fred Collins?
Probably they was buried with him.
The doc might have one.
He might at that.
Wouldn't be no harm in seeing it.
Well, sure, if you'll ease up on the reins and tell me why you want that bullet.
Oh, just an idea. It's been buzzing around in my head.
Hawk, you sound like you've been chewing local weed.
I know what I'm doing. This has got to work. Now, how about it?
Well, I'll do my part as long as it's legal. I'm still wearing a badge, you know.
Yeah, and some.
Yeah.
Spread it around town that you're looking for the slug that killed the old man.
Yeah.
Act kind of mysterious about it.
Hawk, I'm taking a chance trusting you, you know.
I got me a hunch Verity and Lucius is going to get married. On schedule, if I'm lucky.
You almost make me feel chipped.
Well, you'll get over that before the night's through.
I hope so. Sure, again, my principles. Hasta la vista, Hawk Larrabee.
It got dark early in Mulberry Creek, and when the sun went down, I was just going into Morgan Bryce's tent where he had his store at. A big kerosene lamp hanging from a ridgepole had just been lit. And I was looking around when a clerk come up to me and says,
Howdy, stranger. We got picks, shovels, grub, anything you need for mining.
What brand of shovels you got?
Acme, the best.
Oh, I don't know. I like a Regent. Maybe better.
Well, we ain't got Regent.
Hmm. I heard they carry them at the Collins Mercantile.
You don't want to trade there, stranger.
Well, why don't I?
Well, you... Well, prices are high.
How come they ain't high here?
Mr. Bryce is aiming to give folks a good start.
No, good start, huh?
Yeah, he believes you'll be buying from him a long time.
And then he'll raise prices?
Well, sure, naturally.
Yeah, as soon as he runs Verity Collins out of business and ain't no more competition.
What gives you that idea?
Oh... Just something that I heard. I'm a stranger here myself.
And you better watch what you go saying about Morgan Bryce. He's kingpin around here.
Oh, well, I sure don't aim to slander no kingpin.
Now, what about selling you a shovel?
Tomorrow, maybe. I want to get on over and see him string up that Lucius fella.
I'll be there too, stranger.
I guess there ain't much chance of finding him not guilty, is
there? Nope.
I heard the town marshal was snooping around looking for a bullet or something.
Yep, that's what they tell me. It won't do him no good, though.
Well, he must figure that there bullet's mighty important. Maybe he can find out who done the killing.
Somber Jones had better save his time. We're taking care of that Lucius with or without a trial. He killed Fred Collins and everybody knows it.
Yeah. Well, I got to be moving along.
Don't forget that shovel tomorrow.
It began to look like my little scheme had blowed up right in my face. There wasn't going to be time enough to work out all the details because Lucius was due for a hanging any way you looked at it. Well, I was just heading for the door when I seen Morgan Bryce blocking my way and looking as mad as a bronco wearing his first saddle.
Hold it, Larrabee.
What you want, Bryce?
I heard you've been stirring up Somber Jones.
What give you that idea?
Adding two and two.
What kind of an answer did you get?
It adds up to you getting out of town. Pronto.
And if I don't figure I want to go?
Then you might stay here. Permanently. in a pine box.
That's mighty big talk from a gent who just got his wrist slapped a while ago for pulling a gun.
You were lucky that time, Larrabee. Gun sight caught in my holster when I drew. Otherwise, you'd be dead.
Well, I ain't dead. I'm pretty much alive.
I'm just telling you once. Drift. Hit the trail.
Bryce, that hombre was making talk about you.
Well, what'd he say, Joe?
He said you was trying to run Verity Collins out of business.
Fellas, let's give this Hawk Larrabee something else to think about.
What do you mean, Bryce?
Boys, let's show Larrabee he can't butt in here at Mulberry Creek.
Yeah, that's right. A good idea.
Some of you heat up a barrel of tar and get some chicken feathers. After we take care of the hanging and see it's done proper, we'll start on Larrabee.
Yeah, he's got a coming to
him. I ain't going to wear no tar and feathers for overcoat, Bryce. Not now.
No, now. Look out, Bryce. He's got a gun. The light. He shot out the light.
Which way did he go?
That way.
Blasted dark. I can't see a thing. Somebody get him.
I got under that tent wall like I was riding the tail of a Texas norther. Before anybody could get a lantern lit, I was heading down the alley where I had my white horse, Blanco, tied to a fence. I piled into the saddle and lit out for the jailhouse. In a minute, I could see Somber Jones standing there in front.
What's he shooting about?
Never mind that, Somber.
Hey, what you doing with that gun?
Inside the jail, quick.
All right. What you aiming to do?
I'm going to take Lucius out of here.
I done my part, and this is how you pay me off. Doc Ramsey did have two bullets. Here, look at him.
Yeah, it's just what I figured.
Figured what?
Never mind. Get that cell open.
Keep your britches on.
How come you ain't putting up a fuss, Summer? Ain't I defying the law?
Nope. I done resigned.
Resigned?
Yeah. I couldn't let a prisoner escape if I was wearing a badge, could I?
Well, no.
No, so I'm what you call a private citizen now. There's my resignation, all made out and stuck in a pigeonhole of that desk there.
What? Well, I reckon I was wrong about you.
Come on out, Lucius. You're free.
Free? I'm free? Why, Hawk Larrabee, what does this mean?
It means you getting out of town, son. Bronto.
What about Verity?
She can join you later. Who's that out there, Summer?
It's Verity.
Hawk Morgan Bryce has stirred up a lynching mob. They're coming here and they're... Oh, Lucius.
Verity.
They can't take you, Lucius.
I can see him through the window, Hawk. Too late to run for it.
Hawk, give me a gun. This is my fight.
Don't go being a hero now, Lucius. Stay here with Verity. You too, Summer.
Looks like you've sort of taken over, Hawk.
Yeah, it does, don't it? Now give me that sawed-off shotgun you was bragging about this afternoon.
There you are.
Cover me from the window, Summer.
I'll be right with him, Hawk.
Good. Well, here goes.
Hawk Larrabee!
That's right, Bryce. That's far enough, boy.
What's the meaning of this?
I got a sawed-off shotgun. And buckshot ain't particular who and where it hits. If any of you boys feel lucky, why, just start to come.
Come on, let's get ready, boy.
Who's first? Yeah. Take a look at these two slugs I'm tossing over, boys. It's light enough from the jail window.
Well, what about them?
Are they from a 45?
It looks like a 41 to me. Where'd you get them at?
Them is the slugs that come out of Fred Collins' body. Doc Ramsey had them.
What are you trying to prove, Larrabee?
That you killed Fred Collins, Bryce. You better be careful, Bryce. You're wearing a strange gun tonight. Might slow down your draw.
A man's got a right to own more than one gun, Larrabee.
I reckon so. But you was mighty careful to take off that 41 you was wearing this afternoon when me and you tangled at the Collins store.
No law against shedding the gun?
Maybe you was worried that Somber Jones would find out that Collins was shot with a 41.
I'm not the only man with a 41.
But you may be the only one in town with a 41 who had reason for shooting Collins.
What?
That still don't prove nothing.
All right, then. Listen to this. Listen to me. I dug up a couple of witnesses.
Witnesses?
Yeah.
What?
Two men.
Who are they?
Boys, you want to hear what they said?
Come on.
Sure. Sure.
Don't listen to him. It's a trick.
Trick or not, I want to hear what he's got to say.
That's right.
All right, Bryce. These two witnesses say that when Fred Collins come to the door the night he is killed, just before he was shot, he called out your name.
He did not.
If you wasn't there, how do you know he didn't call out your name?
What about that, Bryce?
Don't believe him, boys.
Hold it, Bryce. Hold it or I'll let you have both barrels.
Don't shoot, Larrabee.
Get him, boys.
Okay.
We got him, Larrabee. And we're going to keep him. It's funny how you can bluff a fella sometimes. That's the trouble with killing a man. You can't never be sure somebody didn't see you do it. Well, later, Somber Jones turned to Lucius and said...
I figure now you get all the law and you can take care of here in Mulberry Creek.
And I'm going to let Joe run the store for me. Uncle Fred would have liked that.
Oh, sure. You got to be a lawyer's wife, honey.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that folks here in town will like me.
Why, of course they will. And Lucius, if you ever get the feeling you're kind of runted like, well, just remember this. With a .45 in your hands, you're 6 foot tall, and you're broad enough to spit in the devil's own eye.
Is that right?
Huh? Here, take this gun. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
You know, Hawk, I feel taller already.
And someday, Lucius, if me and Hawk ever get into trouble, which I expect we will, I'd sure get you to lawyer for us in court.
It was about midnight when I rode out of Mulberry Creek, but it wasn't by myself. Somber Jones was riding at my side.
Where are we heading, Hawk?
Over San Marcos Way.
What's over there?
I just found out that there's a sheep and cattle war brewing.
Mind if I ride along? Though we probably both get shot up or lynched.
Yeah. I'll take a chance.
Hawk, take a look back yonder. You see, you can see the scaffold out behind the jail, looking kind of ghostly in the moonlight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure glad things turned out like they did with Bryce, I mean.
Well, how's that?
Sure been a blight on my record as Marshal of Mulberry Creek if I had the dang thing built and then it wasn't used.
Get up.
He gained more renown as he rode the trail from town to town. Comatai, yippee, 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 yippee. He woke one morning on the western trail, a rope in his hand and a cow by the tail. Comatai, yippee, 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 yippee.
And now Hawk will tell you about next week's story.
Well, looked like I'd picked up a new sidekick. Somber Jones was as mournful a character as I ever saw. And it wasn't long before I figured he had reason to be. Trouble and Somber Jones seemed to go together, just like pork and beans. Well, anyhow, we sure did walk into a pack of trouble when we got down San Marcos Way. But I'll tell you all about that next week when I come riding your way. Adios.
Until next week, that's the end of the tale of Hawk Larrabee on the western trail. Comatai, yippee, 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 comatai, yippee, yippee, he's up in the morning before daylight. Before he sleeps, the moon shines bright. Comatai, yippee, 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 comatai, yippee, yippee,
Hawk Larrabee, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 22nd of May, 1947, on CBS. You are listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Leponier. In this next broadcast of The Frontier Gentleman, a cast of prolific radio actors, among them Joseph Kearns, former Man in Black on the Suspense series and countless other broadcasts, and Jack Moyles, who on the CBS radio network starred as Rocky Jordan, the leading man in that series. Not to mention the leading man in this episode, John Daner, on the air thousands of times in hundreds of different characters. He plays J.B. Kendall, reporter for the London Times, in this episode called Nebraska Jack, from August 3rd, 1958.
I feel that I cannot leave Wyoming Territory without describing my encounter with Nebraska Jack and his remarkable family.
Frontier Gentleman. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories.
I was on my way to the South Pass District. We were driving through Little Snake Country when the stagecoach in which I was riding developed a hot box. That is to say, one of the wheels, through lack of grease, had clogged and would no longer turn. The axle became red hot. And so when we limped into the next stage station, there was no choice but to wait for repairs, a matter of 2 or 3 hours. I decided to rent a horse and was told by the attendant that if I rode down to the river, I should pay my respects to Nebraska Jack.
Yes, sir. Now, if I was a stranger in these parts, I'd sure want to amble down and make his acquaintance.
What does he do?
Do? He don't do nothing right now, except sit around and take his ease. It's what he did that counts, mister. Old Jack. Ain't nothing much he can't tell you about the opening up of this country. That is, if he feels like it. Now, if I was you, I'd buy me a bottle of gut warmer and take it on down to him. Best way I know to loosen up his talking talents.
Do you happen to know where I could...
So happens I got a couple of bottles right here. Yeah, old Jack's favorite brand. Never drinks nothing else. I reckon he's about due for a refill. He'll take it real kindly, mister.
How much?
$3.
$3.
And $1 for the horse. $30 for the saddle. Don't care about the horse, but good saddles is hard to come by. Of course, you get the 30 back when you bring in the saddle.
I see.
Yes, sir. Now, you come out back, I'll get you fixed up.
Well, how do I find this place?
Ain't nothing to it. Just follow the wagon road till you come to a sign saying Nebraska Jack's place, keep out. Here's a trail right down to the river. You can't miss it. Ah, here's a mighty fine little horse. Ain't got nothing to worry about with him. Get you there and get you back.
He's just a bit swaybacked, wouldn't you say?
Him? Shucks, no. That's just the way he's made. That there's a real clear-footed rocking chair critter. He'd give you any trouble, though. You just lay your quirt on his get-up end. He'll do just fine. Just fine.
As it turned out, my suspicions were correct. The clear-footed, gentle critter turned out to be what my friend Shorthorn Tom would have called, among other things, a whey-bellied stump sucker. The animal managed to stumble in every gopher hole and over every rock on the trail. In fact, he sought them out. I followed the wagon road until I reached the sign reading Nebraska Jack's Place. Keep out. Then I turned off onto the river trail. I had gone about 300 yards when...
Get that cowhawk turn head off my land and you with it before I unravel you.
It's Nebraska Jack, isn't it?
You're darn right. Can't you read the sign back yonder?
Yes.
Next one, I'm going to shoot through the water barrel and drown you.
No, wait. I brought you some whiskey.
All right, see.
Here.
We keep that bottle in sight. I'm riding this way slow. Slow and easy.
I'll get a move on you.
That's close enough. Oh. Stop right there. I seen you got a gun, Pilgrim. Now don't you get itchy to use it. Just throw down that wild mare's milk, you know. Well, now that's mighty kindly of you, mister. Mighty kindly. You come down from the stage station, did you?
That's right.
I thought so. Ollie Monaghan, he sent you over, huh?
Well, I didn't catch his name. It was the station attendant.
Ollie, oh, that's who it was. Every once in a while, he sends along some young green fella like you. Come out to see the wild and woolly west. Sends him over to see old Nebraska Jack. Sir, if I'm around, I usually throw some hot lead. Kind of makes them feel they're living dangerous. Yeah, I scared one fella so much a couple of months back he lost his horse. Ended up busting his head again at that tree over yonder.
Really?
Fact. I like to die laughing. Come to think of it, he did too. Buried him under the tree. Well, now, you come on and follow me down to my shack. I'll get one of the women folk to rustle up some grub.
All right. You live here with your family?
Family? Young fella, you ain't never seen a family in your born days like mine.
Big?
Big! Oh, I lost count 2 years ago. But near as I can recollect, there's 5 wives and 17 young'uns. Or maybe it's 18 by now. One of the women's fixing to drop a calf any minute. I hope it's a boy this time. Last 4 have been little calicoes. Come on, let's go have a look-see.
Nebraska Jack was a man of at least 70. Although not very tall, he still possessed the physique of a much younger man. His hair was long and white, and a fine, curly beard covered most of his face. He led me to what he called his shack. In actuality, it was more like a blockhouse, which stood 3 stories high. Situated on a rise above the river, it was quite an imposing sight. At the river's edge, I noticed a 6 or more naked children of varying ages. They saw him, waved happily, and went back to their play in the water.
Now, you can tie the horse up here.
Right.
Rose! Oh, Rosie! We got company. Put on the coffee. I'd offer you a drink, but I ain't got more than enough for myself. Besides, a fella your age don't want nothing to do with whiskey. Just rot your stomach clean through. You don't have to say nothing to Rosie about me drinking.
Oh, no, of course not.
Mister, you sure are polite. Are you a territorial senator or something?
No. Newspaper correspondent. Name's J.B. Kendall.
Oh, that's so. Just go ahead in. That's my room through there.
Did you build this place yourself, Jack?
Me and the older boys finished it last year. Of course, the family keeps it growing. I'll have to be adding, I guess. Wait, sit down, Kendall.
Thank you.
There. Newspaper correspondent, huh? English, ain't you?
Yeah.
I thought so, yeah. Say, ever heard of an English writer, feller called Ruxton?
Oh, yes.
He was up in these parts years back. Oh, I seen him. Nice fella. Of course, there was mostly Indians around here then. You know, you could go a year and not see a white man.
Were you born in the West?
No, I come out from Ohio when I was 12. Since then, I done and seen just about everything a man can in his natural life.
I'd like to hear about it.
Oh, you got a week?
Only an hour or so, I'm afraid. No, I've got to catch the Rock Spring stage.
Well, I'll just kind of wipe the brush over it. Yeah, I've been a trader, prospector, guide, scout. I freighted and trapped with Jim Bridger. You heard of Jim Bridger, ain't you?
Oh, I should say so.
And I used to run a ferry across the Green River on the Oregon Trail. I killed Indians and white men. I still got 2 bullets in my leg and a piece of Ute arrow in my backside. Well, along about 15 years ago, I was getting on past 60. I figured it was time to settle down, get me a wife. Trouble was, I'd lived the way of the Indians so long, I felt more like them than my own kind. So I up and married one. Oh, fine woman.
But I thought you said that you had 5 wives, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But I didn't wed up with them all at once. First wife, she was Arapahoe Nellie. She got kind of lonesome for woman company, so her cousin come to visit her. That was Mary. That was her second wife. Then there was Piney and Mandy and Rosie. 2 Shoshone, 1 Ute.
And they all get on together?
Well, sure. Ain't no reason why they shouldn't.
Coffee, Nebraska.
Well, that's just fine. Kendall, I want you to meet Rosie. This here's J.B. Kendall, Rosie.
Nebraska.
Say, now, I plumb forgot, Rosie. How's Piney doing, huh? She calved yet?
I told you before, Nebraska, no talk like that. Piney have baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, she have baby yet?
No, soon. Oh. Maybe tonight.
Where's Nellie?
She downriver looking to your trap line.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What about Mary?
Nebraska, you getting old in the head. You disremember everything. You send Mary and Mandy to fetch in sheep.
I'm likely forgotten.
Nebraska.
Huh?
Let me smell breath.
What?
Whiskey! Where you hiding?
No, Rosie. No, Rosie.
All right, fine. This Kendall. He bring it?
Well, I...
No whiskey. How many times I tell you, no whiskey. He drink one of these days, he cash in his chips. No whiskey, Nebraska. You hear?
Yes, ma'am.
This Kendall, he stay for grub.
No. Thank you very much. I'll have to be going.
Oh, no. You don't have to do that. Why, Rosie here, she fixes the best chuck you ever set it to.
No, really, the coach.
You got your baggage up there at the stage station?
Yes, and...
Well, shucks, I'll get one of the boys to bring it down for you. You take the next coach out tomorrow. Sure, you stay overnight. Wait, we got plenty of room.
Well, it's very kind of you.
You hear that, Rosie? Don't he talk just fine, real educated. Now, you send one of the boys in, Little Jack.
Little Jack plucking chickens. What you want with him?
What about Ben?
Ben cutting wood. Joe catching fish. Mary's Pete getting dam. Nellie's Pete helping.
All right. I guess I'll just have to do it myself then.
Do what?
Go with Kendall up to the stage station and fetch in his baggage.
Oh, no. I know what happens. You go to station that Ollie Monaghan. He sell you whiskey. Oh, no.
Rosie, it ain't so, I swear. Kendall.
Oh, no.
Kendall, you wouldn't even let me smell the bottle now, would you?
Oh, no.
Well, I'm sure that I...
There, you see? Now, Kendall here, he's English, and when he gives his word... Oh, poor Rosie, you ain't got a thing to worry about.
Oh, no. Kendall go to station himself, fetch baggage. You stay here, Nebraska.
Why, you can't ask a guest to do that, Rosie. It ain't hospitable.
There's no trouble. I don't mind in the least.
What do you figure he's going to say about us in his newspaper? We make him go fetch baggage his own self.
Don't matter what he say. I know Reed anyhow.
Now, you hold on, woman. I got patience, but I tell you, it's thin and fast. I'm the head man in this here house, and I'm telling you, I'm a-going with Kendall to fetch his baggage.
You go to stage station, get drunk.
Who says
when you come back, you'll be sorry.
Who says I'm going to get drunk?
Tonight, wife Piney having baby.
All right. Me and Kendall will be back before dark.
You remember what I tell you, Nebraska. This is the last time. You drink whiskey. You no have woman. You no have kids. You no have nothing.
Although I tried to dissuade him, Nebraska Jack insisted upon accompanying me. He must have known what was in my mind, because by the time he had saddled up his horse, shown me a shortcut which took us 5 miles out of our way to the stage station, my coach, bound for the South Pass District, had already gone. We went into the waiting room.
Well, that's the way things see. Something told me there was a deceitful thought in your eye. Yes, sir. You was going to take off in that there coach and leave me high and dry down to the river. Now, wasn't you, Kendall?
I must admit the thought did cross my mind.
I figured so. You know what I done? I made you miss your coach. That's what I done. Hey, Ollie!
Yeah?
It's Nebraska Jack.
Right in, Jack.
Yes, sir. Now, where'd you keep that whiskey at?
Jack, why did you want me to miss my coach?
Why? Well, I'll tell you. As long as I'm with you, I'm safe.
Safe?
Well, that's what I say, boy. Because when I start in bending an elbow, there's no telling what happens. Sometimes I just get plumb sleepy, and other times, well, sir, I just go on the warpath. Ain't no sense to it, but I like to get mad as a bear with two cubs and a sore tail.
Yes, but I still don't understand what I've got to do with it.
Well, you heard what Rosie said. If I come home drunk, you heard.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to just let you keep an eye on me. You're going to hold me down. And as soon as you calculate I've had enough, you're going to take me on home before I get drunk.
Well, what happens if you don't want to go?
Well, don't matter what I want. You got to make me. You heard what she said. Now, you give me your word. You'll do it.
All right.
Howdy, Nebraska. Ain't seen you for a spell.
Howdy, Ollie.
Say, my friend here, he wants to buy a bottle of your red eye.
Sure.
How's the wives, Nebraska?
Oh, fair.
And the kids?
Oh, they're just fine.
Oh,
keep it in the safe now, huh?
That's right. Now, only two bottles left, Nebraska. You want them both?
I guess we ought, huh? You figure, Kendall?
Frankly, no.
You just put it to the side, Ollie. We'll start with one.
Sure, Nebraska. Oh, that'll be $4 each, mister.
Four? The last bottle was only three.
Yeah, but this one is 2 weeks aged. Best in the house. Wait a minute, Nebraska. I'll get some mugs. No sense of you drinking alone.
Sure. Well, don't you give none to Kendall. He's too young to guzzle. Besides, he's promised to get me home sober. And that's just what he's going to do. Ain't that so, Kendall?
Exactly 1 hour later, Nebraska Jack and Ollie Monaghan had demolished one bottle of what must have been the most violent whiskey in Wyoming territory. Monaghan had almost completely lost his voice and was trying to sing a song that he swore his mother had taught him. I found the words were somewhat obscure. Nebraska Jack had a peculiar gleam in his eye and was viewing the other whiskey bottle with great interest. It stood on the table beside my elbow.
Are you married, Kendall?
No.
I'm married, Kendall. I taught him to talk English. That's the worst thing I ever done. Now they think like a white woman. Well, that's worse yet. Let's open the other bottle.
No.
Well, you don't trust me. You think I'm going to get drunk.
You are drunk.
Oh, well, that is a lie.
Now, Nebraska, you know what your wife said would happen this time.
I'm going to tell you something about my wife, Rosie. Oh, she's the worst. I'm going to go home and I'm going to scalp her. Right now, I'm going to scalp her.
You want my opinion, she'll end up scalping you. They all will.
Rosie's a ute. Yeah, I got a piece of ute arrow on my backside. Never trust a ute. They want to ruin your life.
Hmm. What about the others?
Oh, they're all right. Nellie, Mary, Amanda, Piney. But that Rosie ain't fitting for a woman to be so mean. You hear how she talks to me? Oh, give me that bottle of whiskey.
Nope.
I get through with you. Your kin won't be knowing you from fresh hides. Now, come on, give me that bottle.
Don't you want to be able to see your new son?
What new son?
Piney. She's going to have her baby tonight.
Oh. You know, Kendall, I'm bad news. I ain't even worth stomping on. Fact. Ain't right for a father to carry on so. All them kids at home, no pa to set them on the right trail. All them good wives a-fixin' and a-fussin' over me. I'm just a no-good walking whiskey vat.
How's about a drink, partner?
Sorry.
He's my pal, see?
Partner?
Oh, not you, you sidewinder. You trying to get me drunk? I got me a home with all them fine wives and kids. You know, Rosie will make them all pull stakes. She's you. She'll just do it.
Come on, Jack. I'll take you home. You can sober up on the way.
It ain't no use. New baby won't be no boy. It'll be a girl. Another girl, sure as you're alive. That'll make 5 girls in 3 years. No, sir, fellas, I ain't the man I used to be. I might as well get drunk.
Open up the bottle, Bart.
Open it up, Kendall.
No.
Now, don't you go get me frothy, mister.
I don't particularly care if you foam at the mouth. I made you a promise, and I intend to keep it. Although I have no idea why I should. You are going home.
I'm telling you, give me that bottle. And if you don't, I'm going to wrap your arms about your neck and give you the strangles.
Hang up his eye, Nebraska, clear his plow.
Now, you, my friend, are a bad influence. Go away. All right, Jack. Come on.
You shouldn't have done that, boy. You're itching for trouble. I'm going to have to whittle you down a mite. Come on, draw.
I'm not going to fight you, Jack.
Draw, you snivering, long-eared wood pussy! I'm giving you a chance to fill your hand. And if you don't do it, I'm going to shoot you down like a sick coyote.
I won't draw.
Come on.
No, go on, shoot.
Say your prayers.
Pop! Say your... Pop! Mama Rosie says if you ain't drunk, you've got to come home right away because Mama Piney give us a new baby brother. And if you air drunk, then you stay out of the way or she'll take an axe to you.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
A boy. That's what she said, wasn't it?
That's what she said.
A boy. Now, that surely is a something.
You better go home and see your son, Jack.
Yeah, I reckon so. Say, you figure me for a pretty big fool, huh?
I think it'd be an idea if you put away the gun.
No, I'm just an alkaloid old man who ain't got the sense I was born with. At least, I'm getting sober mighty quick.
That's good.
You know, I'd take it as a kindness if you'd ride with me.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I ain't saying I blame you, but it'll be a pleasure to have you see the noon.
Well, if I won't be in the way...
In the way? Mister, with 5 women and 18 kids, how are you going to be in the way? Go on, let's go.
Nebraska Jack was completely sober by the time we arrived. The newcomer was of incredible size, weighing, I should judge, at least 14 pounds. The image of his father, with a thatch of curly black hair and a pair of immense lungs. His bellowing lasted far into the night. However, I was able to forgive him, considering his parents had done me the honor of naming him J.B. Kendall.
Frontier Gentleman was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall.
The Frontier Gentleman, pontooned to yesterday from the 3rd of August, 1958 on CBS. And that closes this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.